with your host, with the most, Obi-Wan Kenobi, aka Mo. You know, that's me, and that's my street name, you know. Anakin, I have the high ground now.
The fuck?
You won't get that reference unless you've watched Star Wars Episode 3. You should watch it.
I've been meaning to be fair, for a long this time.
Okay.
Helping you niggas branch out. But anyway, introduce yourselves.
Yeah, you got Toby the Guy Senpai.
AKA Podcaster Toby.
I think that was thick. Oh.
Podcaster Toby.
Oh, I hate this guy.
Hey, man.
They'll never know. They'll never know.
And who's Taff? Find out on the pod. AKA Crime Lord. AKA The Kingpin. AKA We're In This Episode.
Okay. And on today's episode, we plan to discuss the Yorkshire. Or Yorkshire, there's some, what would you call them, internationals like Taff would say, the Yorkshire Ripper.
Okay.
Yorkshire.
Okay, and just
why
to
are look, you excited?
I don't know, this is going to be an interesting episode because we have to be entertained, but we also have to stay respectful.
Wait,
I feel like you might struggle with that. So let's get into it. So just to give a bit of context to the listeners, and in case you haven't like heard about this guy recently because he's died, or beforehand, he was a serial killer that killed 13 women and attempted to kill another 9, but those attempts failed. The way he would kill these women ranged, but it involved using hammers, knives, and other blunt materials to just murder them, quite gruesomely, to be fair. As I'm talking about this, Taff is scrolling through his Instagram page looking at Instagram baddies. Their disrespect is real. Anyway, Taff, when did you find out about the Yorkshire Ripper?
We learned about it in psychology, and I think a forensics elective in one of our terms. I think it was the first year we learned about it.
Yeah.
And it was a very brief mentioning of it. Like, they were mentioning how in England we don't really have that many serial killers, and the only one that's notable was the Yorkshire Ripper. And I feel like they were talking about his location and where he committed the crimes. Obviously, this was like a couple years back now, so I can't remember the details, which I'm sure you'll provide. But that was my first mention of it. And I didn't really think about it afterwards till, of course, recent events. So what brought his name back up into the media?
Well, on Friday the 13th, he died.
Okay.
That was this year. He died. Apparently, the story is now due to COVID-19. So yeah, he was in prison. He's been in prison since the 80s. He not escaped, but he eluded police custody for 5 years, during which that time, as I said before, he killed 13 women and failed to kill 9 that he did try to kill. And what was brought up, the topics that I saw online today being discussed because of his death, was the fact that the police at the time were very misogynistic in the way they pursued the Yorkshire Ripper.
How?
In the sense that because his initial victims were prostitutes,
okay,
the police at the time saw, because prostitution's obviously illegal, they saw rape and murder as, you know, just job risks that can happen to you if you're a prostitute. Like, if you work in a factory, if you get hurt, like, people are going to feel sorry for you, but then they're also going to understand, everyone's going to understand, you're going to understand.
They're going to say it comes with the job.
It comes with the job. Like, okay. You can get hurt working in a factory, there can be mishaps. In the same way, you can make mistakes at work. If you're at McDonald's, ice cream machine can break down. It comes with a job. People will shout at you if you're a bus driver. It comes with a job. What they were saying is, if you're a prostitute, rape or murder, it comes with the job. And so people were saying they were lackluster in their efforts to catch him. And even then, afterwards, females that weren't prostitutes but were still attacked. For example, there was a 14-year-old girl that was attacked by this guy. Luckily, she lived. Because she wasn't a prostitute, obviously, at the time, they didn't treat her case as one that was connected to the Yorkshire Ripper, even though it was in the same kind of area and had a similar MO. And her description of the Yorkshire Ripper was quite relevant to the ones that they already had from other people. But yeah, so that's why people said that it was, well, the way they handled the case was very misogynistic at the time.
Yeah, like I know, I think I've seen an article where you actually have quite a few people. I'm not sure if it's a protest, but they're sort of unhappy with the way the police have actually gone about with the Yorkshire Ripper, and even the way the victims were described as well. A lot of people aren't fine with either.
I have an article here that shows that. So when one of the 16-year-old girls were killed, the police said that an innocent victim has now been killed, suggesting that prior to that, as Mo said, like they were committing a crime and but this one's innocent, and they just said that. this is just terrible for men, really. Like, when you have a police force led by people that think in such a toxic way, whether it be sexism, misogynistic mentality, racism, the way justice is carried out is very, like, it's up to their discretion. And it's very hard to come to terms with that in a way. Because I think about that a lot, in how the people that are meant to protect us and go and find and serve justice to people like the Yorkshire Ripper, and that they're not looking out for me and people like me, whoever I am, me being like anyone.
Yeah.
I'm very worried. Like, if you're a woman who's a prostitute and you're hearing, and you're in this area hearing that there's a serial killer going around, and your police force says, people like you, we don't care. And they're being very sluggish in the case. Like,
they're treating it like it's an assignment at uni.
honestly, it's just scary. It's just very scary. Like, how else was the case handled, Mo, in terms of, like, pursuing this ripper?
I mean, I think the fact it was just going to be tough because the advice that the police were giving out, something else that has been criticised, then and now, is that they said, so woman, just stay inside, travel around in bigger groups, etc. You know, the casual, the normal, we would say it even now to this day, we can't attack the problem, but we can do our own bit to keep you safe to a certain degree, or essentially restrict your movement so that you're less likely to end up in the clutches of this monster, frankly. And people, particularly women I've seen talk and write about this, have said that I don't know whether they don't like it, but just them being restricted in that way, being told to not go out late at night or being told to travel in groups of three, it's essentially, they see it as a restriction of their freedom.
And this links quite coincidentally to the conversation brought up by Toby.
Yeah.
About male privilege.
We are privileged to a regard where we'd have to worry about all the same things that females have to worry about. We can casually, like, I saw a post that us as a man being able to walk through like at 12 o'clock at night, just anywhere you want really, is you sort of using your privilege without having to worry about whether or not you're going to make it back or if someone's going to attack you. And yeah, obviously it does depend a bit on your area, but like in general, like I think it's fair enough the majority of guys wouldn't care just heading over to Tesco real quick or some takeaway on their own and then just come back casually.
I myself am a frightful person here and there. I don't like to walk it around at night unless I have to. So in winter time, I feel like for me, time has contributes a huge factor. So even though in winter it does get darker, I can still walk around at 9 in a winter 9. I can walk around.
Yeah.
But 12 midnight, I'm not walking around no matter what the season, because, you know, good things don't happen at night depending on the area you're at. Yeah. And even then, sometimes it's not on the area you're at. You know, cameras can't see you. So if you get into a car crash, you know, all that's going to be there is your body. So someone could easily do a hit and run on you. But as far as like something being done to me, like I still see myself as someone that I could get robbed. Like if someone has a weapon on them, or if there's a group of people, I could get robbed. So I personally take caution when I walk around at night, wherever I'm going in it, just being on alert. So I now have a little sister. So she's 18. And if I worry about myself, I can only, you know, you can only imagine how much I worry about her when she goes out.
Yeah.
And when she stays out late. Because for me, it's the double standard of one being like, of course, it's me. So I know that I'm safe. So I don't really worry when I come back home late, back when I was at home before I came to uni. So when I come back home late, I'm just like, oh, it's me. I know exactly what I'm doing. I know when I'll come back. I'm in the situation, you get me? Yeah. Versus I'm not in her situations where if she goes out late, going to the cinema and pretty much does exactly what I'm doing, because I don't know, I'm more inclined to worry like, oh, she's not back yet type of thing.
Yeah.
So it's my double standard comes from just me having the privilege of just knowing and you obviously not knowing. But I never see it as, oh, because she's a woman, she's weaker or da-da-da. It's just worrying. And the stigma, like, sometimes I do feel like we're too quick to put it on, oh, men think that women are this, that, and the other. But sometimes it's just like, you just worry because you worry. There's not really some negative stigma behind you just worrying and caring for someone. Yeah.
Just a question then. So obviously you worry about your little sister, but if you had like an 18-year-old brother, would you worry about him the same way as you worry about your sister?
Fuck.
There we go.
Check me.
There we go.
Yes, but it wouldn't be as much. I would say my sister would be a 100% and my brother would be 90. It would still be up there.
Yeah.
But I'd be like, hopefully he can fight and defend himself. Hopefully, like, she can fight and defend herself too. So it's the same. But then again, like, just statistically, men tend to be stronger than women.
Yeah.
So it's like, even if she can fight and defend herself, if she's outnumbered, it like anything can happen in the world, of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there's just like that, because of the stereotypes that we've been conditioned to believe about men being stronger than women, that's why I'm probably more inclined to believe that my brother, that I worry less about my brother if I have one, a 10% less than I would my sister, just because he's a man. Just because he's a man. Just because he's a man. He, for me, is just 10% less worrying. That's the difference. There's a difference nonetheless. Some people may argue that there shouldn't be a difference, but for me, him being a man, like, it gives me a little bit more ease. Yeah. Just a little bit more ease.
Just to interject, you said that it's a stereotype that men are stronger than women.
No, it's statistically.
It's a biological truth. In general,
yeah,
men are stronger than women. Mm. And it's something I've struggled with, because I would say when I was younger, I used to see it as we can educate everybody, but the people that go out and do this, they're the minority in the sense that they are monsters. I don't see them as men or women. They're just monsters. They're evil. You can't break evil. You can't teach evil. You can't reform evil. So when I would, if I said comments, going out at night is dangerous, especially at really late times or really early in the morning times, or wearing certain clothes is dangerous because of their attraction, you might get from certain males or monsters or rather that would do certain stuff to you. That was, I would say that in a caring way, because I don't want you to be hurt. But the way that it could be perceived, and it has been perceived by females, bringing it back to this case, is that it's victim blaming. And that's been told to me before.
And I feel like it's victim blaming if you attribute it to, oh, well, she shouldn't have done that. Is that what you...
No, I wouldn't say that they shouldn't have done that, or that they a woman shouldn't be out at night, or a woman shouldn't wear certain clothes. But just saying that is a factor that can play into it happening, is, some people would say it's enough to term it victim blaming. And bringing it back to the case that we were discussing earlier, there was a group organized called the Leeds Revolutionary Feminist Group, they had a couple marches called the Reclaim the Night marches, and that's because the police had been victim blaming, and they suggested that women should remain indoors at night. So that's just a statement. They should remain indoors, and that women should be able to walk anywhere without restriction, and that they should not be blamed for men's violence. I wouldn't say that women, if I made a comment like that, that they should not stay indoors at night, but refrain from going outdoors at night, especially alone, because it's dangerous, and of the position that females are in, women are in. Just being honest with the reality of the world we live in today, I wouldn't say it's victim blaming, or I'm not trying to restrict them. I'm not blaming them for men's violence. I'm just trying to be honest with what we've got going on. And at the end of the day, if you didn't give any warning or advice like, oh, stay in, and then God forbid your sister or anybody else we know, any woman that we know, or any woman, period, got hurt, raped or killed, then you might feel a certain type of guilt because you didn't speak out or you didn't try and offer any help when you foresaw potential danger. Like, your parents have told you, I'm sure I still get messages from my mum now telling me that I should, even when I'm getting trains home to London, oh, make sure you book an earlier train, don't stay out too late, be safe. Even though I've done the trip multiple times, I've gone back and forth, and I'm a man. I'm less likely to get hurt, I mean, in the way a woman can get hurt. The most that can happen to me probably is I could get robbed. But I don't travel with anything flashy. I don't have my phone out most of the time. I stay head down, keep myself to myself. So I don't even have a high risk. But my mum's still worried. And that's just because, I feel like it's just because, you're a parent, you worry. And in that case, even as a brother, a dad, a sibling, sorry, that's a good brother, I guess, but a friend, you're going to have those same urges to give out some help or advice to any friends or anyone that's in your vicinity, immediate vicinity. And when you don't, if something does happen, then it will affect you. And yeah, I'll continue to, it might annoy you. You might feel hurt by what I'm saying or feel like I'm trying to repress you in some way. But what I'm doing isn't for me, it's for you. Because I just want you to heed my advice is all I'm saying. And God, I would hope that nothing happens to you. And if it doesn't, then I'm not going to be like, oh, if you don't do what I say, nothing happens to you. It's not like I'm going to be like, well, you should listen to it anyway. It's just more like you should at least heed it or take it into account. But in response to, not response, but further on to what I said before about how the police, Taff asked how the police further messed up in that case. They interviewed the killer 9 times during that 5-year spree.
Okay.
Without realizing that he was a killer.
So why did they keep bringing him back?
But I guess there are still question marks around him potentially being involved. But this predates computers. So This was all paper. Like, all these interviews were all written down on paper. And apparently it was quite confusing and confuddling in the way that, we have interview 1 with this guy, filed over here, interview 2 filed all the way over there. You get 9 interviews and they're all in different places. And it's hard to cross-reference interviews, look for holes in his story. But yeah.
True.
Overall, just a dark spot on English history.
Yeah.
Fun fact. Did you know back in the day, in World War II period, women weren't allowed out without a male, what's it called? Chaperone. Yeah.
Is that a fun factor?
No, but just so people know the history.
Interesting factoid.
Interesting factoid. Not that many people know that women used to come out with chaperones and stuff.
Crazy. Was that implemented because, to keep women safe, I guess?
It was, what do you even call that era in time for women? Like, that was back when they thought women should just be housewives and stuff. But during the war, that aided towards women's empowerment and coming out and breaking into other professions.
Yeah.
But before that, it was just the way of life, really. Just women, after a certain time, you come out with a chaperone. And if you don't have a chaperone, you're just in trouble.
That's mad. I'm just trying to know, if it was just because they're women or...
Literally, just because you're a woman.
That's crazy to me.
Yeah, really needed a chaperone. And I'm pretty sure your chaperone, as long as it was a guy, so it didn't even have to be... If you have a brother and your brother is 16, but you're a 20-year-old woman, he could be a chaperone.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
What would that do for your pride as well? Like, honestly.
I don't know. In a way, it's like, you grow up, I assume, because you grew up that way, you're conditioned to, this is the social norm. Yeah. Everyone's like this. But there has to be that one person who's like, I don't care if it's the social norm. We should be able to walk out the same way these guys walk out. And I don't know, that person, whoever broke out and said that, is a special person to, see outside the box of what they were living in and say, nah, there's a better way, there's a different way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But going back to Mo's like thing about victim blaming, like giving advice. So I feel like is it, would you say a gray area? Like, I don't know where you'd really, it's kind of hard to draw the line between like giving advice. So I'm like, okay, what to do next, and victim blaming. I feel like it's a very gray area, would you say, to that?
And yeah, it's a slippery slope because you can easily fall into attributing blame to them after the fact and say, oh yeah, this is your fault that this happened. That's how it can be perceived, or it can just be taken as, oh, thank you. Oh, thanks for the help. Thank you. Thanks for the advice. I guess it all comes down to how you phrase it, like what your intentions really are, and obviously the person on the other end, how they perceive it, how they receive it from you. But yeah, I just personally just wouldn't, I think I'd change what I'm saying depending on who I'm speaking to.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Like if I'm speaking to people I know, and they know that I care, and they know what kind of person I am, be that my sister, my mom, my girlfriend, or any female friends, then if I told them, oh, be safe getting home, like travel, I always tell my sister like to travel with, or to go out with friends, because just because it's safer, then I don't think any of them would ever take it as, oh, don't restrict my freedom or my freedom of expression. Whereas there's like obviously people outside of my group of friends, I guess, and family, I don't know what they're like. They don't know what I'm like. So when I say that kind of thing, they may be totally thrown back.
Yeah.
By my misogyny, if that's what they would term it. Anyway.
Oh my god. Okay.
Or should I say, misogyny?
It's his attempt to provide some levity.
Yes,
to the
I want to bring some lightheartedness.
Jesus Christ. Enough,
by sacrificing his name.
By sacrificing my name.
To that.
Misogyny.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
Because yeah, I feel like, I won't even say both parties, man. Because as a guy knowing like, okay, you're privileged in this regard, you can go on these walks. And like referring back to Tap's point, even though you're like, okay, you'd be 90% worried of like your son rather than like 100% of your daughter. I feel like for me, that margin's that margin's like a lot higher, like as in there's a bigger difference. And that's due to the fact that even though, you gotta think like, okay, men are stronger than like biologically stronger than women. I feel like just because of that alone, women instantly become a target.
Yeah.
And that, if anything,
no, that doesn't make them a target. Their situation doesn't automatically make them a target.
It makes them more of a target, If someone wants to like rob someone, they know that like if you're an average guy and you're about to rob an average like female, you pretty much have 100% chance of like beating that person up and then going away, rather than the guy where it's like, okay, this actually might be like a high difficulty.
Yeah,
fight.
This might be a 50-50.
Yeah. It's like now as like someone who's like a robber, you're like, okay, what gives me the highest success rate? And then if every robber is like thinking that same way, then that difference between like men and women getting robbed is going to be a lot higher. Yeah.
And I'd say it's a slightly situational, because I feel like if you want to rob someone's bag, right, you have to sneak up behind them. Whether it's man or woman, if you have a metal bar, because this happened to a guy I know, that he was walking through a forest park, some guy snuck up behind him, whacked him over the head, and then took his bag.
Okay.
That, to me, sneaking up doesn't matter. What your gender doesn't matter, fam. Someone sneaks up to you, whacks you across the head, it doesn't matter whether you're a man, woman, sheep, dog, you just got whacked on the head. If they wanna, I don't know, grapple for your bag now, so it's face to face and he's trying to snatch your bag off you face to face, I would say my money is on the average man over the average woman. Fair enough. That's where I sort of agree with your point. As far as more of a target, it's just, I don't agree with seeing it that way. I feel like that's the problem in a way. It's not you're more of a target. You're not more of a target. It's just and a person who's seeking opportunity to steal from someone would just weigh out the consequences, and they'll think the consequences are less with you. So in their eyes, you're the easy pick for them.
Easy
to prey
pick,
on.
Better target. What's the difference?
Yeah, I was gonna say,
because I feel the stigma is like automatically because you're a woman. That's
as a woman. Yeah.
That's what it sounds like.
It's facts though. As a woman going out compared to a man of the same age, similar build, a woman is a better target. They're an easier target. Like you said before, if you're talking about sneaking up behind someone, whacking them over the head with a metal bar, the man and the woman, they're most likely going to lose.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But if you had to make a choice, let's say you're a criminal and you have to make a choice about what kind of person you're going to encounter when you go out to do your dirty work, you would rather it be a 5-foot woman compared to a 5-foot man. That 5-foot man can still be built well. Like it's just the way it is.
Yeah.
Women are in general weaker. And like, so it makes them easier targets.
Yeah. And I get you to a point, Taff, where it's like, okay, saying that sort of like fuels to the issue as well. Cause it's definitely an issue in that regard. But I was gonna lead to the point now, because we can't do anything about them robbers, because if someone's gonna rob someone, they're gonna rob someone, like whether or not it's a man or a woman. Now it just comes to, okay, what's the most logical choice? And like, if they're gonna plan who they're gonna rob, like, okay, what's the most logical choice? And that's where I'm like, okay, men sort of do have the advantage in that regard, well, most of the time anyway. So other than them cases, obviously we have this privilege now. And as men, what do you think we can actually do to
we need help to teach our sons to behave. That's what we need to do.
I disagree.
Huh?
Really?
What do you mean?
Teaching our sons to behave,
you disagree with that?
No, I don't. No, let me
end
land
this man's career.
Let me land.
Well, cancelled.
No, let
misogyny has spoken.
Hashtag misogyny.
What do you mean you disagree with that? How can
it's
you disagree
because,
with that?
Yes, if you're talking about any little thing we can do, I think, yes, talking to our sons. But I think that if you raise your children properly, and I do think most people do set out to do that, then they won't commit any, you know, crimes in that sense. I'm talking rape, sexual assault, etc. I think what people need to come to terms with, like I said before, is that the people that are out here doing this, for example, the Yorkshire killer, rapists in all across the country and in different countries across the world, they are monsters. They don't care. You can't imagine the kind of psyche you need to have, the mind you need to have, to go out and, because of sexual desire, touch a woman and have sex even though she doesn't want to without her consent. It is not normal. It's not something that a normal man can do. Like, I'm not going to wake up tomorrow and be like, you know what, I could go and rape a woman, because that just isn't me. That I'm normal. I'm built with emotions. I care for people. I have sympathy. A guy that goes out to rape, even while she's crying or moaning, etc., he will continue to do what he does. He'll leave her like that, or some will even go and kill afterwards, which is what a lot of serial killers do when they rape and then they kill as well. These guys will go out and do that, and there'll be no change. That guy, like I mentioned, the Yorkshire Ripper, he got interviewed 9 times before they eventually pulled this guy in and were like, okay, yo, this is our guy. Imagine they thought they were looking at a normal guy. This guy had a wife, by the way.
Oh shit.
This guy had a wife. So therefore they're looking at normal lad from down the road. Okay, we have a couple questions. And they did that 9 times before they could deep, okay, this is our guy. Because he looked normal, but what was going on in his head was different. This guy could talk to police, talking about things that he did, murders that he committed, and he got away with it completely until he was eventually caught. Because you could put up a brave face, you could put up a front, but what's really going on behind your mind isn't something that can be taught to your kid. He's damaged. You can't fix that damage. So when I say, we shouldn't do it, but it's not going to do enough. Stuff like this is always going to happen, is what I'm saying. That's what we have to face.
There'll always be criminals, fair enough.
There will always be rapists. There will always be murderers. We can hope to bring down sexual assault in the sense where it's sexual assault, where people don't even realize it's sexual assault, as we discussed in a previous episode. Mm-hmm. That's something that we can teach. We can teach boys and when they become men that when a woman says no, it's no.
Yeah.
If she doesn't want to be touched, you stop. Stuff like, we can teach that. And I do believe that sexual assault cases will gradually come down. Even as women start to report more, they'll eventually start to come down, because that's something we're starting to impress upon our children, yeah, and the males in our society. But stuff like rapists and murders, those ones there, I feel like the numbers will always be similar to how they are now, because they're monsters, just breed. You can't fix that, in my opinion. You can't fix that. They're just there. They're tapped for a reason.
Fair enough. A wise man once said,
A man gets arrested, a dog gets put down.
Facts.
Bro, like, yeah. but nah, that just, like, you talking then just remind me even like of people like Octavian as well.
There we go.
Octavian. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
He's an interesting case, fam. So what's the actual situation between him and his ex-girlfriend? Do you guys know?
I have a general overview of it. I can't really remember specific numbers, but I believe that they were together for about 3 years. Correct me if I'm wrong. And throughout that time, she's been undergoing physical abuse. I'm pretty sure she was pregnant at a point as well. I'm not sure if she bared the kid. I'm not sure if you guys know.
I'm not sure.
But he didn't want it and essentially just beat her up.
Yeah, apparently he kicked her in the stomach.
Yeah, like
very graphic.
Yeah, I'm not sure if that's where it started. But yeah, just eventually they broke up, but then she's like recently come out with tapes, texts, just a lot of hard concrete evidence against Octavian as well. I'm not sure if any other exes have spoken up out about it as well. I think other people may have spoken up about his like antics and just how he is in relationships. But I feel like someone like that as well, he's a broken man.
I'm not sure whether I'm able to, because I don't know enough about him. And the story and the case itself, to label him either a monster, someone that is completely irredeemable, or, you know, just someone that's done wrong. But just his case in terms of, being on a woman, while I see that as disgusting in itself, and something I would never certainly do, or wake up and, let me do that, because that's something that comes to mind, or be ever angry enough to hit a woman. I do think that is something that will definitely be more affected by how you're raised. So when you're teaching your kids, whether that be your son or your daughter, to not hit people and to not like ever act out violently if you're upset, I think that could be more influential in not raising someone that could turn out to be Octavian. I think that's someone that clearly hasn't been told no enough in their life, that has seen violence, maybe grew up in a violent background.
Yeah.
And he's always been able to express himself violently and get away with it, to the point where he's beaten on his partner. And I think that's where I think you can trace that issue backwards.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can trace the root of the problem.
Yeah.
Okay. And there's multiple problems or that play into the human being he came out to be today.
Another thing that pisses me off is like you said, you can trace this backwards. And when people, statistics, you can look this up, statistics of people that grow up in broken homes where they're growing up seeing violence and handling conflict in the wrong way, that there's no conflict resolution.
Yep.
They usually grow up to repeat the same behaviors, right?
Yep.
So now Octavian does what he does. And then if his parents are still about, they might come out and say, "Oh, my son, I didn't raise you to be like this." Don't lie. This is learned behavior. Like, it's, for example, it's like seeing a 5-year-old swear and use bad language. Who's teaching him that? It's not the TVs or movies. He's probably seeing his dad swear every time his team doesn't win. You get me? And now he thinks every time something negative happens, I swear. And you just grow up like that. And that's how you react to things and resolve conflict and stuff. Honestly, it's... And then that goes into like, I'm not giving him an excuse for growing up however he grew up to lead his behavior like this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because there's a quote that says, "It's not your fault you grew up this way, but it's your responsibility to heal." Like, it is your own responsibility to heal. Like, what happened to you is it was out of your control, but it's in your control whether or not you heal from that.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
clearly he hasn't.
Yeah. Even just, there was just a lack of remorse for me. Because even in his apologies, like obviously in abusive relationships like that, they always find a way to reel their partner back in.
Yeah.
And there was just no remorse. He was essentially attempting to do the same thing with her. Luckily she was able to escape him. But I know a lot of the time, that's not always the case in these sort of relationships.
Yeah. And it's a pairing type thing as well, where it's, you find someone who's emotionally manipulative and then they somehow find someone who's easy to manipulate emotionally.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. And that's how you find these relationships most of the time, because there's a reason why you if that emotionally manipulative person, if he tried it with someone else, fam, he would have got a different reaction.
Yeah.
Like, for example, the girl where apparently some guy touched her inappropriately, she came back the next day to his yard and smashed everything up. Like, who are you trying to violate, fam? Put it on Twitter. You get me?
Yeah.
So it's in that way too. Like, we need to teach emotional strength and healing and stuff, because it's one, it prevents her from accepting this. And if you see those violent tendencies, or if you see characteristics in a person or red flags that you don't like in them, you need to learn to be ready to leave at any point, because it only gets worse. Because he'll choke you this time, and then he'll throw you down the stairs the next time, because you allowed him to choke you the first time. So it's about emotional resilience and teaching that, or spotting it and looking for a way to heal and recover before it's too late, and learning how to spot and avoid these people at the same time as well. And as for the people that are doing this, they need to, and it takes a lot too, because his boys probably know he's like this with his girlfriends, and his boys should have probably, unless they're like that too, they should have said, hey, the way you treat women's a bit mad. And so if you cannot spot your own toxic behaviors, pray to God that someone else will, or else you'll just be going on in life oblivious.
Yeah.
Simple.
Yeah. I'd
say that's a great place to wrap up the episode.
Yeah.
Please follow us on our Instagram at SlidersPod, Twitter as well.
Oh, we're not on Twitter, by the way. I just clocked. I keep saying Twitter.
That's true.
We have a Twitter, but we don't post.
That's true.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're on Instagram, though.
Yeah, we're present. But yeah, follow us on Instagram at SlidersPod.
It's been Who's Taff? You found it on the pod, aka the minority with authority.
Been Mo, aka Moby Wan Kenobi. Check out Star Wars Episode 3.
I thought you found your other AK in the episode.
No, let's leave Mo Sojourney behind.
No, AKA fast. Mo Sojourney. Clip that.
But yeah, and you've got Toby the Guy Senpai.
And this has been Sliders Podcast.
Sliding out.